Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. This episode is sponsored by the folks at Sour Humanoid Vinegar.
And Sour
when I say the folks, I mean my partner who just started this amazing vinegar brand. Sour Humanoid is designed for cooking, created by a New York City sommelier who got sober after working at Michelin-starred restaurants and curating award-winning wine lists. This vinegar is an excellent way to make any meal special with very little effort. Check out some of the easy recipes at sourhumanoid.com. And we've had Nick on an episode before. He's, you know, a fellow sober entrepreneur, and we're excited to have Sour Humanoid sponsor this episode.
It's an amazing story, and I will give a brief testimonial just because I don't cook, but I have sent Sour Humanoid gift packs as gifts over the holidays to a couple of my friends who are big cooks, and it got rave reviews. So user tested, customer tested, and all thumbs up. Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to Recovery Rocks. This is Lisa, and I am here with, as always, my girl, my favorite girl, my BFF.
Hello, my love. It's Tawny.
Hey.
We are here to talk about something very trendy, very topical
Hot topic alert.
Yes.
Ozempic. Everybody's talking about this. Ozempic and its generic forms, a drug, a medication that is a diabetes medication that has become popular in the rest of the world because one of the side effects of it is weight loss for a lot of people. And so a lot of people are taking it off label as a weight loss drug. One of the issues, the big problems with that is that it has led to a shortage of the medication for people who have diabetes and need to treat their diabetes with this. But it has also, we'll talk about that, but it has also become apparent and it's being looked at closely now. We're going to link to the latest sort of article that we think brings out, you know, kind of brings out the key points in this. It's being looked at as a potential treatment for addiction, which is pretty crazy because what it seems to do is reduce kind of compulsions in a way, reduce not necessarily appetite, but like the desire. In the article we're including, which is written by a woman named Maya Svalovitz, who is one of the, you know, she writes for the Times all the time on addiction and public
policy. She's great.
And things like that. She's a really great journalist, and this is her piece about it. And it seems like it could. It's making people are saying things like, "It just made my sweet tooth go away." Like they are finding some relief from the compulsive, whatever drives them to compulsively eat. And perhaps like some people are saying, I haven't even wanted my glass of wine at night, that it's taking away sort of cravings. And this is all really, you know, speculative at this point. But The Atlantic did a big article on whether or not it's going to be an addiction drug. And I think there's a lot of research that remains to be seen. But they're looking at the way it interacts with the brain's sort of craving desires. In fact, the article we're linking is called What Ozempic Reveals About Desire. And it's about how addiction works on that level of compulsion. And then, the dopamine hit of getting the thing you were chasing. But, you know, as Tawny and I have learned, like it's never going to be what, when you talk about like somebody like who has say a compulsion with a sweet tooth, somebody who has a food addiction and sugar is a thing, it takes the ultimate relief never comes, right? Like it takes more and more.
Yes.
For me with alcohol, you know, my need for the next drink just owned my brain and broke it in that way. And, the idea that there could be something that would just like break that versus something like Naltrexone, which is the one that's supposed to reduce cravings. And then and then there was also like Antabuse that just made you sick if you drank, the older school sort of things. And Naltrexone has been shown very effective for people. So that's something to look into. But the idea of cultivating this category of drug for addiction is something that's being looked at. And you know, what do you think? My journalist partner over here.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what I think yet, because like you just said, it's too new to even know. We don't know long-term effects yet. Like, the drug itself is still relatively new for people who are using it correctly, or, you know, like, I don't want to say correctly, using it as it's intended for diabetes. That's still relatively new. And then so we don't know the long-term effects of people that are using it for weight loss. This reminds me of, do you remember like 10 or 15 years ago, everyone was doing like the HCG thing, the diet? Do you remember this?
I don't remember that. What was that?
So HCG is a pregnancy hormone. Like, it's something that you produce organically. And it's why a lot of people lose weight in the first couple months of pregnancy, is because of this overproduction of HCG. And people were literally, I don't remember if it was being synthesized, but people were being injected with HCG to lose weight, and they were losing it fast. I mean, this was when I was teaching Zumba. So I saw it firsthand. I saw a lot of people, kind of like Ozempic, when you see people like losing weight really quick. Now it's kind of like, I wonder if they're on Ozempic. Back then, it was like, wonder if they're doing doing HCG.
And
some
people
would.
Got it.
It's very, very similar to me. So, you know, then everyone finds out you're not supposed to be injected with a pregnancy hormone for weight loss. Shocker.
Right.
So I am curious if we're going to go in that same trajectory with Ozempic. I don't know. My bigger concern is what it says about just body image and diet culture in general.
Yes.
You know, Chelsea Handler and Amy Schumer are doing great jobs at making fun of people, like calling out celebrities for using Ozempic and which I, you know, we love when people can deal with things with comedy. And this conversation reminds me of this great book that I just read called Fat Talk: Parenting in the Age of Diet Culture by Virginia Soul Smith. And we can include a link to that. I don't have kids, so I don't read a lot of parenting books, but this book really interested me because it is about diet culture, and it helped. Yes, there's parenting tips, but like, the book helped me deal with a lot of my own body image issues, especially that stemmed from inner child, and seeing how diet culture impacted me as a kid, how it impacted my mom, how it impacted her mom, which, you know, and then it impacts down the line. So the book was very healing. I highly recommend it. Even if you don't have kids and you've struggled with body image, I think it's an excellent book. I'm sure the author, Virginia Soul Smith, she has a popular newsletter, so I'm sure she's written about Ozempic. But that's, you know, that's what comes up for me, is it reminds me of body image issues, and it reminds me of just these trendy diets that just don't work. There is no quick fix, you guys. Like, I don't know when when are we as a collective going to understand there is no quick fix?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a great point about that. And I agree with you that this is, and one of the things that is mentioned in this Times article is that, you know, there is concern because there's been so much progress made on the issue of body positivity, mm-hmm. that this, you know, making it like this is is a step backward. But one of the things that was interesting though, too, in the article was that, you know, in a way, and I'm not saying anything about, you know, contra to the idea that this is an issue, you know, about not, you know, why we need to continue to have body positivity because all bodies are different. But saying, like, in the context of addiction to a substance, right? So say it's alcohol. If what happens here is that people can take a pill, if what ultimately happens, then, and, you know, and they say, like, it's almost like a lowering the, they call it this, the set point or whatever of your desires. And it is specifically, you know, look, goes to, I think I had sent you that. Yeah. That it will be fascinating to learn whether it's possible to alter, even create a quote unquote set point that signals that enough drugs have been taken. People with alcohol problems seem to lack such an off switch, while those who drink moderately report clearly knowing when to stop. And that is one of the things to me that I often, since day one, have said when family friends, I would say, I don't have an off switch, right?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, nothing tells me I've had enough when I drink. And that if people, and this cuts both ways, if people can take a pill and then not be an alcoholic, maybe people will look at them and say, oh, so it wasn't a moral failing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a choice. It was actually because, wow, now they take that pill. And after all the things they tried to do before or whatever, nothing worked. But like when that part of their brain, as we always talk about the brain being another organ in the body, like the liver or the kidney that you got to treat, you know, there's a chemical imbalance that could help break stigma. However, that's not going to work for everybody. And it doesn't mean that the people for whom that doesn't work for are morally, you know, deficient or are somehow there is something wrong there. So it risks it risks changing it, and in a way you can see it cutting for better and for worse, how people in society at large view addiction.
Yeah. And you know, this article is probably the most nuanced, interesting thing I've read about Ozempic.
Yeah.
Because it's not about try this for weight loss.
No.
It's like, if it can help with addiction and cravings, like, I'm listening, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if it can
right.
help people, like, sure. But it, like what you said, it's just, it feels more of a setback that we're so obsessed with quick fixes and weight loss.
Yes, it shows that we haven't come very far.
No, if it does feel
or
like
far a, enough, I should say.
It feels more like a cultural regression that we're so obsessed with, like, another annoying diet trend, especially one
yes.
that you can lose a drastic amount of weight so quickly.
Yeah.
And anyone who works in health and fitness and wellness will tell you the longer that it takes you to lose weight, the longer it's going to stay off. So if you lose an insane amount of weight in a short period of time, you're most likely going to put it back on. Like, that's just science. That's how it
well,
works.
Well, they say when you go off the drug, don't they say when you go off it, you gain the
yeah.
weight back?
Yeah. So it's not sustainable. This is not a sustainable way to live. But you know, it does speak to our cultural obsession, but also, you know, we talk a lot about how everyone's recovering from something. Like, I worry about, you know, people who are in recovery from eating disorders that hear, you know,
yeah.
that hear about this drug and they're talking to their doctor trying to get it. And then, of course, the people that are actually diabetic that are unable to get the medication that they need because people are misusing this. And, and you know, then it makes me want to go on a rant about like the war on drugs, but like, what are we doing about pharmaceuticals? You know, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very true. And like, if you look at it from a, you know, you think about relapse or you think, you know, if you say you took it, right. Say like when I went into, when I went into detox, they gave me Ozempic. And 5 days later, I left the detox and did, you know, what I did. I mean, I ended up, you know, going to intensive outpatient two nights a week and also going to 12-step because the cool guy in my outpatient said it was good. But, you know, it's supposed that I'm somebody who I refuse to go to like inpatient rehab and really work on stuff. But and many, many people, I mean, inpatient rehab for a month or something like that financially is not an option. And so suppose that I go into and they say, here's this Ozempic, and now I get out and I'm like, I just, you know, I have two drinks and I'm like, I'm done. Right. Maybe that got turned off, that piece, but I haven't even remotely dealt with the rest of my you know, mental health stuff. I mean, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder and an anxiety disorder, right? That I have to actively manage even now, 19 years later, and I always will, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, how does that, you know, is it going to be like they're looking for this addiction cure where you roll into detox and 5 days later they're like, okay, here's your prescription for Ozempic. Yeah. For how long? What happens when I don't take my Ozempic? You know, yeah. Like all these other things, like the idea that just a pill is going to even, you know, look, maybe it's a tool, maybe it's something eventually when they work on it for, you know, this kind of thing, it's something there, but it doesn't change like the fact that I had all, not only these like mental health things, but I didn't know how to live yes. a normal life, right? I mean,
well, that's the thing is like, it's whether you're taking Ozempic, whether you're like, whatever you're doing, it's, these are all Band-Aids. If right. you, there's some, if you keep going back to these toxic diet culture habits, I would encourage you to talk to a therapist, find a peer support group, read articles about this, because there's something under there. There's something underneath, you know, it's the same as with alcohol, same with drugs. We are self-medicating with drugs and alcohol. A lot of people also self-medicate with food, or starve themselves with food or from food. So it's really, I'm looking at it more from a mental health perspective. Stop right. trying to find the quick fix. Really sit with what the hell is going on. Sit with those uncomfortable feelings with a therapist, journal about it, cry about it, whatever. Figure out what is going on and why, like why you're so desperate for these quick solves.
Yes. Exactly.
And address, exactly. And it's like, let's address what's happening, you know,
right. Right.
you can take the alcohol away, but like, that's just such a small part of, you got to figure out why we had to figure out why we drank. It's the same right. thing as like, if you're constantly yo-yo dieting, you've got to figure out why you're yo-yo dieting before you can actually break from it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And even in 12-step, you know, only the first step uses the word alcohol, right?
Yeah.
The rest, all the other 11 steps talk about ways of, you know, trying to heal yourself and find a you know, peace in your head, you know? And so like, I can only imagine if I was given, you know, a drug like that and I walked out and I went home, and as soon as I got like the first email from work that I felt like I can't handle this. Like, what happens? You know, like yeah. that. There is so much. Like, it is, you know, for me at least, the drinking. Yes, I crossed the line into the disease of addiction where I could no longer drink safely. But you know, before that, I already had these underlying things that were not going to get yep. fixed by that pill. And so as soon as I'm back out in the wild, you know, exactly. and I've got that discomfort, I would have had that same unease and discomfort. And I could completely see me going, Yeah, so Zempic's great, but I'm going to stop it. And I'm just, I can drink like a normal person. Now I got it out. You know, I got detox. This is how I manage my stress. It just is without treatment, right? So it's any, you know, it's just, it's like you said, the quick fix thing. And, you know, it goes to the root, because the way I was treating myself and my body had everything to do with my lack of self-esteem.
And, that's it right there.
You know, I had to build that up by, you know, one day at a time, showing up and doing the right thing, you know, taking the next right action, learning to let go of the results. Like all of these things that, you know, whether you're in 12 step, another program, or just you've got whatever it is that you, you know, work through those things with, you can't, there's no, you know, fix it all, because it's all intertwined.
And it's all internal. Like it's, you know, it's,
yeah.
Real quick, my music minute nugget, Lisa, is going to be Me Too by Meghan Trainor, because it is all about she's literally looking in a mirror, like being obsessed with her body and loving herself.
Yes.
And so I think if you are struggling with body image, my prescription for you is to listen to Me Too by Meghan Trainor. And I also My Skin by Lizzo. Both of those songs are really, really beautiful songs about self-acceptance.
Yes. And I'm going to go with, and I will go with Eminem's The Monster with Rihanna.
Oh, perfect. That's a good one.
Because if I, you know, I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed, you know, that's, you gotta figure it out.
You gotta figure out the monster and then love the monster and then it
and
goes
then
away.
Understand the monster.
Yes.
You know? I'm friends
exactly.
with the voices inside of my head.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing this topic up, Lisa. And if you're listening and if you were considering trying Ozempic, hopefully we discouraged that.
Unless you're taking it for diabetes, we're not big fans.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Not like you're looking for us for medical advice, but,
no, we
I'm
are
glad
not
that,
doctors.
I'm glad that we were able to explore this, and take care of yourself. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.